Magandang araw, Podmates! Awi Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Our guest today is an active service pioneer in the Philippine military, Colonel Francel Padilla, the first woman spokesperson of the Armed Forces of the Philippines. Magandang araw sa inyo, Colonel Padilla, and congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, and magandang araw din po, Sir Howie.
Alam natin na so far, no, your main distinction is you're the first woman spokesperson of the AFP, the Armed Forces of the Philippines. So pioneer nga kayo, no? But of course, you're very qualified for this very visible role, no? Sabi nga ni General Zagala was instrumental in selecting you. You know, you were chosen because of your specialized skills, no, sa cyber domain, which is of course a new theater of warfare these days, no? Alam natin nagsiship na rin yung ating military orientation. But I want to get that gender question out of the way, no? Because that's always part of the conversation when talking about you. Ano? So, Colonel Padilla, what made you choose the military? When did this ambition begin?
Particularly, sir, hindi siya ambition to begin with, no? I think I would like to believe na the stars aligned for me to get here. There is nobody in the military in my family except po yung brother ko that went to handle me na. He was a former member of PMA Class 97. So, siya lang din, sir. Parang in-encourage lang niya ako na, oh, mag-exam ka lang. Kasi pag nag-exam na, sir, papadyaryo, ganyan. So, yun lang. And then after that, parang in-encourage niya ulit ako to take the medical exams to get like a full medical, free medical checkup, so to speak. And then parang tuloy-tuloy na siya said, there was no turning back from there.
So when did you realize that pwede maging career para sa iyo?
Basically, sir, siguro personality-based siya. I'm more inclined to do something that has more impact to the society. So parang very fulfilling, sir, na yung gagawin mo would have a significant impact to the greater majority. In PMA, we were thought to be leaders in our own fields, no? So with that, maramdaman mo how you handle men, paano ka magkakaroon ng influence, and paano ka magkakaroon ng mga significant accomplishments by leading certain people to do significant work.
Of course, marami naman paraan para magkaroon ng impact sa society, you know? And you know, a woman joining the military, entering the PMA, it's not a common journey. I read somewhere na walo lang kayo mga babae, no, sa PMA graduating class mo. Tama ba yon? So you're a really tiny minority in the PMA.
Yes, sir. We entered PMA. 18,000 applicants, 1,100 females passed, and then 100 plus sir ng medical. And we entered 400 kami. 380 po doon ang lalaki, 20 ang females. And when we graduated, 10 po kami na babae sa class ko. But two of them are former members of 99 and joining our class. So talagang yung original 2000, sir, 8 po kami.
So kumusta naman yung buhay sa PMA? Kasi kumbaga, it's a very male-dominated institution. Meron ba kayong kaba? How has it changed since then?
Sir, ang sabi nga namin, no, when you transition from civilian to military, from blue jeans to army green, it was a very, very, rigid training on our part. So, actually, sir, pag plebo pa, yung first year, so, wala ka talagang time mag-isip. So, what we did was live by the day. So, ngayon, I survived this day, tomorrow is another day, no? Hanggang sa dumating na lang din kami na we finished that one whole rigid year of training. Because they have to erase our civilian antics, no? So, kailangan matuto kami to handle stress, pressure, no? So, it's always shouting here and there, no? Kaya namin, kahit magulo yung sitwasyon, kahit na chaotic, we can still think straight. That's something that was taught to us, no?
Did they have a special program for women? Were you treated any differently? I'm sure you had your own separate sleeping quarters, no? But apart from that, were you treated any differently?
I would like to say, sir, that we were part of the learning curve in PMA. Yung first batch kasi, sir, PMA class 97. So they were the guinea pigs of sorts. na they were treated as talagang equal with the males. No? So what the males do, you have to do this. But we are the first batch, na kami sir, class 2000, is the first batch to complete the 4 years in the academy na may babae. So 97, 98, 99, and 2000. So 4 years, sir, from first class to fourth class, may babae na. So there was a learning curve then in PMA, sir. So nung napunong na kami kompleto, sir, they also looked at other institutions, no? Like the U.S. Army, ganyan. So tinignan na din nila na ang babae may ibang physique. So iba din po yung standards namin sa physical fitness test. So in-adapt na din po ng Philippines yung mga ganon. Parang ano nga po kami, testing phase, no? So ganon. On one hand, there's a plus and a minus side to it, no? Negative side to it. That the challenge is really there, no? To really, we are really pushed to the limits because sobrang konti namin, sir. We will have competitions na required ng female. So pagka ikaw babae ka, lahat ng activities, sir, kasali ka. I would be playing for the core squad. Nalaban kami, sir, sa Baguio Educational Athletic League ng athletics. Yung athletics, sir, sobrang dami niyang events, no? So may javelin, discus, shot put, 100 meter dash, 100 meter dash, 3 kilometer run. Sa'yo yun, ikaw lahat yun, sir. Kasi wala kang kapalitan. So para we are pushed to the limits, but being PMA, parang kang Superman, sir, eh. You just saying na PMA ako, kaya po to. Andun yung brute force and ano na, hindi mo dapat ipahiya yung pangalan ng institution mo. So siguro, sir, that kept us going. And of course, it was the peak of our youth then, no? So mga bata naman kayong pumasok, sir, sir. Range is 17, 18, 19. So you're very adventurous. Yung katawan mo, kaya niya, sir, yung rigorous training. So I guess all of those factors came into play na rin, sir.
Were you required to have a sport? And were you sports-minded?
Hindi, sir, no? Before going in, only girl kasi ako, sir, na sa aming magkakapatid. So medyo kikay-kikay of sorts ako when I came in. But I was in engineering, so male-dominated din siya. But really, when you go into PMA, you're one of the boys. There might be distinctions on the parameters ng scoring system. But you know, sometimes kami din, sir, nagpupush siya mga lalaki. Kasi pag meron medyo bagging down na lalaki, hirap, kunahan ko sa takbo yun, sir. And anong mangyayari? Siyempre yung lalaki, pa-challenge siya. Oh, inunahan akong babae. So tendency, sir, di ba? Parang napupush din siya to perform at their utmost. So siguro, sir, ano, it's more of like encouraging na din the others to, ano, sir, to perform well.
I-share ko lang, no? Kasi nabanggit mo nga yung Baguio. Isa ako sa mga nag-cover ng 1990 earthquake sa Baguio. You know, that's how old I am as a journalist, no? But naalala ko na nakita ko na tumutulong sa rescue yung mga kadete ng PMA, no? I mean, naka-white t-shirt pa. I mean, they were like very regimented pa rin kahit na lumulusong sila sa mga ruins, no? Yung mga collapsed houses to get some of the victims out, no? So that was one of my first exposures actually to PMA cadets.
Yes, sir, no? That was one of the highest din ng PMA. Ano kami, sir, more of like a workforce na rin, sir. So anything na kailangan ng tulong sa Baguio City. I remember, hindi ko inabot, sir, yung earthquake. Eh. So mga seniors sa ano yun, mga 90s generation. But in our case, we had also a test of fire, so to speak, when we had the bushfires in Baguio City. So kami yung, sir, yung mga kadete would line up and, you know, pass bucket to bucket hanggang sa hanggang 3 hours of the morning in order just for us to eliminate the fire. So ganun, sir, yung push kasi yan yung drive as cadets. Nando doon, yung solidarity niyo, sir, as magminista. You can do anything, sir, as long as you're with together. Parang gano'n. So it's sort of yung pagiging mista namin, sir. We push each other to our limits then in whatever we do. Be it in sports, be it in rescue missions. Kasi adventurous kayong lahat. So parang gano'n siya.
Did you ever have to endure any sexism or discrimination in the service?
Sa tingin ko, sir, hindi naman yun mawawala, no? We cannot control the minds of our seniors, our counterparts, and all, no? So, darating yung punto, sir, na mayroon pa rin comparison, no? They might feel na pampered kayo kasi hiwalay kayo, no? Hiwalay kayo ng barracks and all those. But, of course, it's in the individual na rin, sir, how you will cope, paano ka makikisama, how do you belong? Parang yun, and how do you prove na you are not a liability? That you are part of the team and you are there to contribute. and you have something different to offer to the table.
Well, speaking of which, no, did you ever feel that there is a ceiling for female soldiers in the Philippines?
Una, ang usapan dyan, ang Pilipino kasi, maternal tayo siya, no? So, mahal natin nanay natin, ilaw ng tahanan, di ba? So, inaanagaan natin yung mga babae. So, nung una, sir, nung panahon namin, we took the training for the Scout Ranger orientation course. But we were not allowed to join the regular Scout Rangers. Because, ano nga doon, wala tayong facilities for females. Siyempre, pag nag-operate sa field, sir, ang tendency ng mga lalaking kasama sa tropa, they will look out for the female. Kasi yun yung kultura natin, sir. Anagaan natin yung ina ng tahanan. So, ganun. But, of course, now, through the years, we have now very young lieutenants na, ano sir, talagang they have proven na kaya din po talaga nila maging one of the boys in terms of operations. So, we have awardees now na female sir na talagang may scorer din sila sa field. They were able to handle the rigorous operations condition sa field. And nakakaano siya sir, may mga very, very significant accomplishments kung sila. So, maganda sir ngayon that the inclusivity and diversity is now very greatly embraced by the army na rin. So, inopen na rin nila po sa females yung opportunity to be a battalion commander in the infantry and to operate in the field duty. And like noon, sir, mayroon kaming, ano, hanggang dito ka na, artillery, yung mga medyo support po kami. So, that's why nasa Signal Corps po ako. Meron akong mga mistang babae na nasa artillery, nasa different fields, logistics, ganyan, but not really infantry. But now, sir, it's open now.
So, wala ng unit sa military kung saan hindi maaring mag-serve ang mga babaeng soldiers?
Ngayon, sir, wala na po.
So, kahit combat roles, may mga babae na? Frontline?
Oh, yes, sir. Ngayon na po.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, kasi before this interview, sinearch ko mga militaries with women in combat roles. No, hindi pa nakalista doon yung Pilipinas, but of course, many countries are already listed there. Scandinavian countries, mostly Western, no, developed countries. But you're saying, no, dapat nandun na rin yung Pilipinas na women can serve in combat roles in the military.
Yes, sir, it's happening now.
Okay, you know, you mentioned inclusive yung ating military. Anong policy ngayon pagdating sa LGBTQ sa ating armed forces of the Philippines?
There is nothing really that's out there, sir. No, but we cannot say na they're not part of us now. So, you know, we feel naman that they're already part of our ranks. But we accept them as they are. They perform naman po accordingly. As long as we follow the set rules and regulations and standards, then we don't have any answer. Unless, syempre, meron tayong mga certain cases that may mangyayari, then we handle it accordingly. But on a regular day, we treat them as co-equals regardless.
Kasi sa US military, of course in the US it became a big issue, ano? And then finally nagkaroon pa ng legislation doon and a policy which is called the, you know, don't ask, don't tell policy pagdating sa sexual orientation. So hindi pwedeng tanungin ng military kung ano yung sexual orientation mo. Wala tayong ganung policy na don't ask, don't tell. I mean, may nagtatanong ba sa aplikante kung ano, are you gay, are you lesbian, are you bisexual, etc., or may ganun din tayong attitude or practice or even policy about recruitment of LGBT community members?
In terms of a policies, no, SOPs and all that, wala tayong outrightly stated about these different genders. No? So ang gender roles pa rin natin, so in terms of recruitment, is hit you yung mga parameters natin, male, this height, di ba? This, ano, and female, this, gano'n. So, male and female pa rin po. But, of course, we do not explicitly ask their sexual orientation. As long as they said they can perform and they are qualified in those roles, then we give them the equal opportunity.
You have a unique life journey, you know, as the first woman spokesperson of the Armed Forces of the Philippines, but you also have a journey that many women can identify with. You've had to balance career with family, like so many others, no? You married a batchmate sa PMA, no? Pareho kayong class 2000 sa PMA. But you were widowed in 2015. Your husband passed away in a helicopter crash. But you've talked about not having much time to grieve, no? Because of your military duties. May I ask, no, how difficult that was? And why couldn't you take more time off to grieve then?
For me, sir, no, parang it was like a balancing act, no? On one hand, parang sinubuko din talaga yung sarili ko, sir, na magtrabaho. Because if I grieve, my children will see that, no, my mom cannot keep it together. So, paano na kami? Because they're the only one they have, no? But after kasi nung nangyari yun sa husband ko, sir, my sons went directly, they went back to school. So, parang hindi naman fair for my part na ako yung mag-take time off and then leave while my sons already went back to their regular, whatever regular thing they do. No? So, I have to keep it together and show them na, oh, sige, tayo na na, pero kaya ko. No? Kaya ko kayo. Kita mo yun. So, ang coping mechanism ko is to do my job accordingly. But that was very challenging because during the time that happened to my husband, it was the APEC summit. And in the APEC summit, I was given the task to handle Park Geun-hye, the president of Korea. And that time, there were 21 or 22 leaders in the Philippines for the APEC summit. We were the host. And there were only two females then. So, dalawa lang kami, and so I was the one selected for Park Geun-hye. But the thing is, she had a threat to her when she was here. So the pressure was very heavy on my part. So I had to be really, really professional and, you know, deal with it. So yung parang ni kanina nun, sir, NSA nila from Korea came to the Philippines and talked to me, asking to speak to my commander because they found out that there was a threat to her life. And ano kasi dun, sir, pag may VIP at nasa bansa mo siya, ang task to protect them and secure them will be in the host country. So napakalaki, sir, napakabigat nung role that was given me. And while at the time, I should have been grieving. Well, it was just a few days after that happened. So yun, I had to really keep it together. But the thing is, naiintindihan, sir, ng counterparts ko. And up to this day, sir, I'm really very close to my counterparts in the Secret Service of Korea that time. So parang we were very professional and they saw how professional I was also in terms of handling the different requirements of their VIP. After a few months, there is also the election na rin. So nangangampanyan na kami, sir, sa PSG. So we traveled a lot and did a lot of activities. So na-shift yung focus ko from grieving. And during that time kasi, sir, my husband came from the US, from schooling. So parang ang mindset naming mag-iina, o wala lang si daddy, he's still in school. Parang ganon. So, kasi kababalik lang niya, sir, nung nangyari yung parang just a week after he came back. So, parang ganon siya, sir. And when it was time for me, because grieving is a lifelong journey, sir, you cannot really say when you end grief. So, nandecide ako to apply for a scholarship in Australia. So, I took my master's in Australia. It's the country that offers a master's scholarship with your family. So, that was where we had a fresh start with my sons. So, ang sabi nila, it is a very good, you know, way for you to move forward when you change everything, like your living conditions. And so, it was a totally new environment, like living the Australian dream. That is where you had a breather. And that's where I tried to heal.
And I just want to inform our listeners and viewers that you were assigned to be security of the South Korean president because you're with the PSG for years, no? Kaya inassign kayo maging security ng VIP, no? But you know, I just want to say that you know, hearing your story, I mean, it's quite admirable that you're able to meet that challenge, no? I mean, guarding such an important person with threats, no? Facing that person just after, you know, enduring or suffering this tragedy, you know. I mean, it's hard enough for most people to handle the challenge of the job.
Yes, sir. Very challenging din ang Korea, sir. Kasi ano sila sir, meticuloso ang Korean sir. They would really challenge me. I don't speak Korean, they don't speak English, pero nagkakaintindihan kami sir in terms of the language of security, no? So the head their head security would just come to me and say, "Major, fire," you know. So just one word, and I'm like, you know, I try to show him what I would do in case there is a fire in the hotel, you know. And I would explain everything from the moment they got down from their plane, you know, and everything. So there was also a language barrier to it, but for some reason, sorry, nagkaintindihan naman po kami. And I guess they're really very happy because after the event, they even invited me and my family to go visit the Blue House. And we did one time. They showed us the whole palace. And, you know, it was something very light after the fact that we performed the duty. And it's not every day that happens. Usually, sir, duty lang yan. You know, mamingit mo lang yung counterpart mo. Oh, trabaho kayo. But after that, there's no more connection. But what happened, ang maganda sir, tumantak ako sa kanila na to this day, sir, we remain in contact with one another, say hello.
But speaking of baptism of fire, no? I mean, much more recently, no? Kasi kauupo mo lang sa iyong position as like the public face of the armed forces. A couple of weeks ago, former President Rodrigo Duterte, you know, gave a speech at a rally in Davao where he addressed the military, no? And even the police, no? Sinabi niya sa mga sundalo na kung magkaka-leche-leche, he was talking about charter change, no? He opposed it, and he was calling on the military to stop it, no? What was your first reaction nung narinig niyo to? Ano bang, were you worried na baka may sumunod sa kanya? Were you concerned at all?
For us, no, sorry, as spokesperson, for me, I'm the voice of the chief of staff. And so I have to learn how the chief of staff would address these kinds of situations. No, so what's in him? What I cannot speak my own mind. I would have to, you know, I'm his alter ego. So looking at this situation, sir, the chief of staff already said that the armed forces, yung mga kasundaluhan, hindi kami kailangan mag-loyalty check. Because nandoon yung tiwala ni chief of staff sa bawat isang sundalo that we will remain professional, united, and non-partisan. So with this pronouncement, and looking at it at that angle of how we view how each shoulder would accept it, it serves as a reminder, no? Na alam po namin ng bawat isa sa amin, ang aming sinumpa ang tungkulin, na paprotektahan namin ang seguridad ng bayan. So with that, yung statement po na ni former president serves as a reminder pa rin po para sa amin. So we think it as pinaginanaralan po kami na, oh, yung inyong sinumpa ang tungkulin, huwag niyo pa rin kakalimutan. So, yun sir, it's actually not a call to action na magka-class or whatever, but it's more like, oh, reminding each and everyone, oh, we still have that patriotism, individually, you know, love our country, and, you know, protect the sovereignty of our land no matter what. And so, yun sir, we'll look at it, we will do this mission to any threat internally or externally.
Yeah, because of course, you know, listening to talk like that from a former president, no, hovering over everything is our history of coup attempts, no, by the military, and you know, we're all aware of this. I interviewed a political scientist from UP. I asked him about this, no, ano bang risk, ano bang danger pag may ganyang mga salita, no, coming from former President Duterte. And he said, well, you know, some military people might think they owe something to former President Duterte. But the other side of this is, sabi ng political scientist, that our military has never been as professional or nonpartisan as now, no? So, sabi niya, because of the lessons from the past, talagang napaka-professional na yun yung ating military. I'm sure you'd agree with that, no? So...
Yes, sir. Ang taas-taas po ng trust rating ng ating AFP, sir, sa ngayon. And we take that really to heart na we're really very grateful that pinagkakatiwalaan kami ng taong bayan. And we do not want to break that trust, sir.
Well, thank you. That's very reassuring, no? Unang bahagi pa lang yan, Podmates. Catch part 2 when cybersecurity expert Colonel Francel Padilla explains why soldiers are banned from using TikTok and how simple apps can be used to hack our phones.